Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, September 21st. Today, we're talking with the Colorado Sun's business reporter, Tamara Chung, about Denver Startup Week. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors at Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy can help you find ways to keep your home or business running smoothly while reducing energy use and saving you money. Find everyday tips for using less energy and simple ways to manage your energy budget at xcelenergy.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. More than 1,000 years ago, a culture known as Chacoan dominated the Four Corners region from a cluster of cities in Chaco Canyon in today's northwestern New Mexico. Satellite communities with allegiance to the canyon extended for 100 miles in every direction. On the northern Chacoan frontier stood a community known today as Chimney Rock, named for one of two stone spires that towered above it in present-day Archuleta County. Starting around 900 AD, Chacoans colonized the region, erecting towns in the shadow of Chimney and Companion Rocks. Higher in elevation than any other ancestral Puebloan settlement, archaeologists believe Chacoans used the Chimney Rock site as an astronomical calendar, with important buildings aligned with both the stones and celestial bodies at important times of the year, including solstices, equinox, and phases of the moon. For 2.5 centuries, several hundred Chacoans inhabited 8 communities clustered below the pinnacles. For reasons unknown, around 1150 AD, the residents burned and abandoned the site, although competition from groups to the west, such as Mesa Verde, might have contributed to its decline. Archaeological work at Chimney Rock, now located at San Juan National Forest, occurred sporadically in the 20th century. Although surveys are still made, American Indian descendants of the community's inhabitants have requested that no further excavations disturb the site. In 1970, Chimney Rock earned a listing in the National Register of Historic Places, spurring further attempts to protect and recognize it. To better preserve and interpret the historic landmark, President Barack Obama used his authority under the Antiquities Act to declare Chimney Rock National Monument in 2012. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun invites you to attend Ski Area Bosses with outdoors reporter Jason Blevins virtually on October 6th. Hear from industry experts about lessons learned over the last few seasons, challenges about climate, housing, and much more. Visit coloradosun.com/events to register for free. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation. I'm grateful to be here with you today. We're visiting today with Tamara Chung, the Sun's business reporter. Hey, Tamara, thanks for dropping by.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm doing well. And we are in the middle of the week, and it's also the middle of Denver Startup Week. I know that you are always very tuned in to what's happening with Denver Startup Week. Each year, it's back in person, and it's basically an entrepreneurial fest. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening at Denver Startup Week so far and what we can expect?
Sure. Well, what I can tell you is more the history of the event. And this is the 11th year of the event, and it's become one of the biggest free week-long events nationwide. And, you know, Denver has become known as a startup area. So it's going to be interesting how 2 years after the pandemic, how whether people are turning up and packing the sessions as they have done before. But the interesting thing about the Startup Week is there are multiple sessions targeting different types of entrepreneurs, you know, anyone from someone who's a creator, someone who's a founder, someone who wants to know just about the revenue news or growing the business, you know, all sorts of stuff. But I really encourage people to go because of who speaks at these events. I mean, there are often some big name entrepreneurs. Ibotta is going to be there. They do the mobile app, the coupon mobile app. And you can actually go listen to these people in person and then try to approach them and ask them questions at the end.
Not everybody gets that opportunity, and we don't get it that very often. So that is the nice thing about these events. And then they also have a job fair, right? That is in the past pretty popular.
Yes, because it's a lot of these startups that are looking to hire people. So it's kind of that role that if you are interested in joining, you know, a company in its early stages, a lot of these companies show up. But there's also larger companies. I know Dish Network, I believe, is a sponsor for this year. And the job fair is actually today, Wednesday, at the McNichol Center in Denver. It's at 144 West Colfax Street, and it's usually in the evening. So I'm just looking at the time. It starts at 5, so it runs from 5 to 9.
Great. Well, and you spoke with the founder of a startup who was talking a little bit about the labor market. What did you learn from this individual?
Sure. Yeah. I spoke to Diego Montemayor, who is the co-founder of a mobile app called Chamba. And they actually started this app right after the pandemic began, or at least when the restrictions started. So in April 2020. And what the app does is it connects employers who need workers to the Latino community and Spanish-speaking workers. So one thing, you know, what over the 2 years, the first year, of course, it was kind of rough. You know, it was businesses weren't really opening. But in the second year, they have pivoted actually over the summer to focus on restaurants because there was the need was so high among restaurant owners trying to find, you know, back of the house kitchen staff, busing. But even front of the house servers and stuff like that. So when I talked to Diego, I asked him what's different about his app, because it's another job app that, you know, shows a lot of job openings and stuff. And I said, well, it sounds like your app is probably pretty good because of the labor shortage. And he was kind of funny about it. He said, you know, there's not a labor shortage. There's just a connectivity problem.
Right. And that's a whole different way of looking at it.
Right. Because he's saying that employers kept going to the same place that attracted the same talent pool. And that kind of makes a lot of sense because, I could tell you a little bit about the app. It's in Spanish and English. So, you know, it's for bilingual users. But if you only speak Spanish, you can still use the app and it guides you in Spanish to fill out your profile, like your resume. And then the app connects you to employers, and many of them probably don't speak Spanish, but the company actually does some vetting to make sure that the employer seems to care about the worker and will, you know, Chamba kind of acts as like an intermediary to make sure it works for both sides.
Yeah, no, it sounds, I guess to his point, it's not a shortage, it's a connectivity problem. And I'm not familiar, and I don't know if you are, with other, you know, bilingual job apps that are out there. What is his focus? Is it regional? Is it national? What's he done the last couple of years?
Well, he started in Denver, and they also have operations in New York, which is one person who's over there for the company, but working with restaurant owners over there and the Spanish-speaking community. But of course, he's an entrepreneur. He wants it to grow. The team actually went through Techstars last year. So Techstars is the Boulder-based tech accelerator, which basically puts startups in a really rigorous training and this program that helps them learn how to grow fast, how to get funding and stuff like that. And through part of that program, and also through other funders, they've raised over $1 million. So this is this is just their seed stage. So they're not even at, you know, first rounds or anything. But I think what they're hoping, of course, is, you know, if this labor shortage continues, you know, every employer will want this. And the other thing is every employer might want it anyway, because it diversifies their own staff. And it just gives them another outlet to find, you know, workers who may not be looking at traditional help wanted ads.
Yeah, no, it's super interesting focus that you did on somebody, you know, related to Denver Startup Week. And if our listeners want to check out what's left the rest of this week or the job fair, the website is denverstartupweek.org. So again, denverstartupweek.org. And Tamara, thanks for filling us in on what's going on over there this week. And thanks to all of our colleagues who helped produce this podcast, along with our production partners, Pirate Audio. If you have any questions or thoughts about this podcast, The Daily Sun Up, send them to podcast@coloradosun.com.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Boulder County heads to the Colorado Supreme Court today to present its opinion that the county has the right to reject new drilling on leases where there's been no oil and gas activity for years. It's a pivotal fight in some local efforts to stop or slow drilling in the oil-suburban interface along Colorado's Front Range. Crestone and other oil and gas companies argue they don't need to be actually pumping oil or gas to keep an active lease. Arguments are set to begin at 10 a.m. Leah Podzimek is on a mission to make opera accessible, and the Denver-based soprano is turning to art later this month in Telluride to help spread her message. At the original Thinkers Festival, Podzimek will join several local artists to blend physical art and opera, hoping to connect new audiences to the resonant storytelling of opera. The four-day festival gathers diverse artists, scientists, authors, and filmmakers to expand perspectives around some heavy issues like grief, climate change, holistic healing, cancer treatment, and women's rights. Podzimek and 30 artists debuted her mixed-media project last fall in Denver near the Highland Bridge. A controversial plan to pipe water from the San Luis Valley to Douglas County may be seeing new life after the county's commissioners recently met behind closed doors to discuss the proposal. 4 months ago, they announced that they would not use part of the county's $49 million in federal COVID-19 funds on the plan. But last week, commissioners heard a legal update on the project from the county's outside counsel. The commissioners are reviewing new material and say they intend to discuss in public any updates. Opponents say the proposal would irreparably damage the valley's agricultural community. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.